Okay, so let me first get our Tanakh up, and where were we up to when we finished last week, and we will continue. Okay, so let me get my Mechon Mamre. Get my Tanakh up. We are in Melachim Bet, chapter, the beginning of, I believe, chapter 15. That's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. But again, as we've been doing the last few weeks, to really understand what's going on, we need to look at Divrei HaYamim. But first, we'll look at Melachim Bet. So if you remember at the close, again, and historically, again, just to let me share my screen. Go and share my screen. So where we were when we finished last week, we were in the around 780 BCE, 770 BCE. We had studied about Amatziah as he's presented, the king of Judah, as he's presented in the book of Kings, as well as and how he's presented in Divrei HaYamim. And we finished with the reality of he passed on his legacy to his son after he was killed. Vaykhu kol am Yehudat Azaryahu. They brought Azariah. Vehu ben sheish esrei shana vayamlichu oto tachar aviv Amatziahu. And the first thing we find out about him is hu bana et Eilat. Vayishiveh al Yehuda acharei shechav hamelachim avotah. So the first piece of information that we find out about this king Azariah is that he built the city of Eilat, or he built the port of Eilat. Now that's a very significant issue, very significant piece of information, because Eilat is a port which allows you access to economics, trade. It allows you a port in the south, not just to the north. And it is a very significant thing. Number two, it reminds us, of course, of the last king of Judah who had built up Eilat, which is, of course, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. So it's a very tantalizing, interesting connection that the Bible seems to be setting us up for here. But it also hints to the fact that this is a time when there, as Azariah becomes king, it is a time of growing economic power. And it's a time when Judah does not seem to have to worry as much about some of its opponents. I mentioned in class last week that we know historically from extra-biblical sources that one of the reasons why Judah and Israel do not have to worry as much at this point in history is because Aram, the Arameans, who are situated in what today is, Syria and parts of southern Turkey, have to start to worry about their eastern flank with the growing power of the Assyrian Empire that is starting to grow and grow and grow in the 8th century. And so they have less time and less ability to worry about the northern kingdom of Israel and certainly the southern kingdom of Israel. And therefore, the Bible tells us at the end of chapter 14, this is what we got up to at the end, that at the same time that this is going on in Judah, Bishnat Chamesh Esrei Shana LaMatziah Malach Yeravam ben Yoash, 41 shana. He was king for 41 years, very stable. Vayasara ben Hashem. He was an evil king from a religious point of view. But hu heshiv et gvul Yisrael milavo chamat ad yam ha'arava. He reconnected. He reestablished and recaptured the territory from Levo Chamat, which is all the way up in Turkey, until Yam HaArava, which is probably a reference to what we would call Yam HaMelach. And the reason is not because he was a tzaddik, because it's clear that he wasn't a tzaddik, but so basically, God intervened because if God had not intervened, Israel would have been destroyed. And at this point, God is not yet ready to destroy Israel. But of course, the undercurrent of that is that Israel, on some level, is ra'ui, is ready, is worthy of being destroyed. But God is not, God still has compassion. There's still a chance, there's still a hope. But then the text tells us something else. V'yeter divyer Yeravam v'chol asher asok v'ratosh nilcham, v'asher hishiv et damesek, v'et chamat liyehuda b'Yisrael. It also tells us that he restored another city to Judah, which tells you that there is cooperation between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So what we have here is another hint to the Solomonic type of experience, because there is no civil war between the north and the south. There seems to be some cooperation between the north and the south. And that is what's being hinted at here in the Tkufa of Yeravam, who was a evil king from a religious point of view, but from a political point of view, was very successful. He was there 41 years. He's there at a time he's able to expand the borders of Israel. So you get a picture of almost like a unified kingdom. Again, reminds us of the Solomonic era, a period when Judah is starting to expand economically because it's built a port in Eilat. The capture of all of these cities, of course, means that there's also new resources. It's a time of great monetary potential, political and monetary boom. And this is then hinted at even more in the next chapter, which is what we're starting tonight. In chapter 15, Bishnat 27 shana li Yeravam melech Yisrael, Malach Azariah ben Amatziah melech Yudah. The Bible tells us that he was king during the 27th year, so they overlap. Azariahu overlapped. Ben Sheshesrei Shana Haya b'molcho v'chamishim u'shtaim Shana Malach b'Yerushalayim. So he was king for 52 years. That is the longest reign, one of the longest reigns in the history of the kingdom of Judah. It speaks to stability, meaning that there is no coups. It means that there is a sense of groundedness. It speaks to a time of great success. That's being hinted at here. The Bible also tells us that Azariahu was religiously a good king. Vayasa yashar b'nei Hashem. K'chol asher amatziahu aviv. He was good. The only bad, rak habamot lo saru, od ha'am mizabchim u'mikatrim babamot. The only thing is that the people continued to worship God through the bamot. The only thing that messes this entire piece up is at some point, vayinaga Hashem et hamelech, vayhi mitzora ad yom moto, vayeshev beit hachofshit, v'yotam ben hamelech al habayit shofet et ham ha'aretz. So the Bible tells us at some point he becomes a leper, using the word leprosy, but it's not actually leprosy, tzara'at, and he is isolated until he dies, and Yotam, the king, is the one who's actually in charge, the son, which probably means that there's an overlap. The 52 years were not necessarily all actually his, but they were attributed to him because he was kind of the figurehead. Probably the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, who knows? Yotam was the king in reality. The Yeter Divrei Azariah v'chol asher asalim tuvim al sefer Divrei Yamim v'chulei v'chulei. Now, the Bible here is very terse in describing our good friend Azariahu. And the Bible just goes from this wonderful portrait, Vayasa Yashar ben Hashem, to Vayinaga Hashem et HaMelech. And it doesn't fill in the details. So for that, we need to go to the book of Divrei Hayamim, to the book of Chronicles. And when we look at the book of Chronicles, we get a much more full picture of the Tkufa of Azaryahu, who, as we noted in passing last week, Azaryahu, his name is actually not Azaryahu, but it's Uziyahu. And that's how he's called in Divrei Hayamim. That's how he's called in Yeshayahu. That's how he's called in the book of Amos, etc., etc. So the majority is probably his real name was Uziyahu, and Azaryahu is a nickname. And we'll see tonight why he's called, I think, Azaryahu. So we look at chapter 26 in the book of Divrei Hayamim. So the Bible starts exactly like we saw in the book of Kings. Vayichu kolam yudat Uziyahu, v'hu ben sheish esrei shana. Vayamlichu oto tachad aviv Amatsyahu. Hu bana et elot. He built a lot. Another word for a lot is a lot. Vayishivel Yudah harei shchav ha-melech im avotav. He restored it to Judah. And he was 16 years old. And now the Bible tells us about him. Ben sheish esrei shana Uziyahu b'malcho, v'chamishim u'shtayim shana malach u'shlaim. Obviously, it's exactly the same guy as Azaryahu. Vayasa yashar b'nei Hashem k'chol asher asa Matzyahu. And the Bible tells us even more. Not only it's Ayasa yashar, but he was someone who sought out God. Vayhi lidrosh Elohim b'mei Zechariahu. He went and sought out in the time of Zechariahu, who was the king of Israel. He sought out the prophets. Vayhi lidrosh Elohim. Hamevin birot Elohim, u'bimei darsho et Hashem hitzlicho Elohim. So, certainly in the beginning part of his reign, he sought out God. But the Bible tells us more about him. Vayetze vayilachem ba'plishtim. He went and he fought against the Philistines. The Philistines are on the coast of the Mediterranean. Vayifrotz et chomat Gat vet chomat Yavne vet chomat Ashdod. So the Bible tells us that he's successful in battle against the Philistines, and he built cities. He built Jewish cities in Ashdod and in Plishtim. That's why I think they nicknamed him Azaryahu, because this was a sense that because he searched out God and searched out the prophets and listened to the prophets, God helped him. So he's Vayazreu Elohim ala plishtim va'al haravim hayoshvim begur ba'al v'hameunim. So he is successful against the Philistines. He's also successful against the nomadic tribes. He's also successful on the eastern side of the Jordan. Vayitnu ha'amonim mincha l'Uziyahu. Vayelech Shemo ad levo Mitzrayim ki echazik lamala. Now, the Bible tells us that people brought tribute to him. Vayelech Shemo ad levo Mitzrayim. And his name went all the way down to Egypt. Ki echazik ad lamala, because he was so strong. Now, this language of people bringing mincha to the king, should be reminiscent to us, again, from the Solomonic era. Again, the Bible is going out of its way to present Uziyahu as a kind of secondary Shlomo. Just to make sure that we get it all down. Basically, what you have here is Sorry. We'll just find what I want to find. Yeah. What you basically have here is a parallel to our good friend Shlomo HaMelech. Because if we look in the book of Kings, in chapter 5, for example, the Bible tells us, Ushlomo hayam moshel b'chol hamamlachot. Shlomo controlled a vast empire, min hanahar eretz plishtim, from the Philistine territory, again the Philistines, v'ad gavul Mitzrayim. Magishim mincha, they were bringing tribute, v'ovdim et Shlomo kol yimei chayav, and they were, in effect, vassals to Solomon. So the Bible gives us this sense of a tremendous amount, an empire in the time of Solomon, and people bringing mincha, which is basically the exact same image that we get from Divrei Hayamim. They control in the south a lot. Uzziahu is able to control in the west the Philistine territory, and he builds cities. And the people are bringing mincha. And, you know, that is all there. In addition, the Bible tells us that Uzziahu goes into making a big infrastructure project. Vayiven Uzziahu migdalim b'Yerushalayim al shar ha-pina ve'al shar ha-gai ve'al ha-mikzo v'yechazkein. It's even a song. It used to be a popular song in Israel. And he built migdalim. He built towers. Not just regular buildings, but he built imposing structures. Va'even migdalim ba'midbar. He built migdalim ba'midbar. Va'yachtsov borot rabim ki mikne rav hayalo. He had a lot of cattle, so he had to build cisterns. Ubashvela ubamishor ikarim v'chorim v'harim v'karmel ki oev adama. He loved the land. So he builds all these things. There's a tremendous amount of wealth because there's a lot of mikneh. All these building projects, again, seem to reflect a time of great wealth, a time of success. You can build all these projects because you have a lot of trade, money coming in. This, of course, reminds us once again of King Solomon. We go back to the reign of Shlomo HaMelech. So we remember in Malachim, Perek Tet, for example, after Shlomo built the Beit Hashem and the Beit HaMelech, which itself were big, big building projects involving a lot of money and a lot of etc. So the Bible discusses as well that he also had built all of these various places. Vayiven Shlomo et Gazer, vet Bet Choron, vet Baalat, vet Tadmor Bamidbar, vet Kolare Hamiskinot, Asher Hayu Lishlomo, vet Arei Harechev, vet Arei Haparashim, vet Cheshek Shlomo, Asher Chashak Livnot Yushlaim Balvanon, Bechol Eretz Mamlach Memshalto. He built a tremendous building projects all over. He built a tremendous amount. Of course, we also saw that Uzziahu had a lot of mikneh, a lot of wealth, a lot of cattle. And of course, that also, aligns with our good friend Shlomo HaMelech, first of all, just in passing, if you wanted to see the pasuk in pasuk chavav, ve'ani asa hamelech Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made a fleet of boats. Ve'etzion gever asheret elot al svat yamsuf be'eretz Edom. And if you turn to the next perek, in perek Yud, you know, the Bible described at great length in chapter 10 about all of the wealth, all of the zahav, and all of the kikar, and all of the kisi, you know, and the kisei shein, and the zahav, etc., etc. Vayesov Shlomo urechev ufarashim. Shlomo gathered lots of soldiers and lots of weaponry. Vayhilo elef varbamiot rechev ushnei asar elef parashim. Vayitein amelch et hakesef Yerushalayim ka'avanim ve et harazim natan kishikmim. Umotza susim asher lishlomo mitzrayim. Vatale vateitzei merkavah mimitzrayim. So he has all of this wealth. He has all of these, you know, things. He has people coming. Vayigdal hamelech Shlomo mikol malchei haaretz, v'chol haaretz mevakshim et pnei Shlomo lishmot v'chachmato asher natan.
His Rabbi Helfka.
Yeah.
Just a quick question: the Arei Mishkanot, it was in Mitzrayim that they had purposeless kinds of buildings they were built up, but right. It's a different spelling, but it's a similar idea.
No, the idea of Mishkanot Leparo. Again, if I was teaching, I did teach it, but this echoes. You know, this has to do with the Shlomo story that Shlomo HaMelech, in effect, enslaved the people, and he was like a pharaoh.
Right.
The Bible hints at the end of his life, he basically became like a pharaonic. But what's important for us is all this wealth, all this tayarut, all these people who came in and out, all this weaponry, all the susim, all the rechev, all the building projects. So when we now come back, Eilat, etc., when we now come back to Divrei Hayamim and its te'ur, its presentation. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep doing the wrong thing. When we come back to the presentation in Divrei Hayamim of Uzziyahu, it's clear that the Bible is making a conscious effort to parallel him to Shlomo HaMelech. And he continues. He builds all these great structures. Vayiven Uzziyahu migdalim b'Yerushalayim. People are bringing mincha. His name is spread all over. Vayelech shmo ad levo Mitzrayim. And then the Bible tells us about all of the weaponry. Vayhi the army and the weaponry. Vayhi Uzziyahu chayil. Chayil, osei milchama, yotzei tzava, b'mispar pkudatam. Kol mispar rashei avot, alpaim v'sheish meot, val yadam chayil tzava, shlosh meot elef. He has all these tzava. And he prepares weapons. He has the most sophisticated weapons. Vayachen lehem Uzziyah l'chol tzava, maginim, rimachim, kovaim, shiryonot, ksatot, lavnei klaim. He prepares shields and spears and metal hats and armor and all the various weapons. Vayas Yerushalayim chishbonot machshevet choshev liot al migdalim val pinot lirov achitzim. You have arrows ubavanim gdolot. You have artillery. Vayetzei shmo ad lemerachok ki fli leazer ad ki chazak. He was so strong. He was so chazak. That's the image that one gets from the text about Uzziyahu. It's a period of time of tremendous amount of wealth. It's the period of political success, military success, trade, empire, imperialism, everything. It's exactly like the period of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, it's wonderful. It's great. And the reason why it can happen is because, as I said, Aram is neutered because they have to worry about Assyria on their east flank. Mitzrayim is taking care of its own issues. It's not involved in the Middle East at this point. And so Uzziahu and the Northern Kingdom have this kind of 50 years of great success. Now, that's the reality. That's the good, so to speak. Strength, power, economic growth, political strength, empire. It's great. The problem is, of course, that underlying all this is potential problems. And the potential problems are many. Number one, we already see that we know that whenever you have a lot of wealth floating around, and whenever you have a lot of success, you know, that can lead to pride, arrogance, and unfortunately, it can also, in addition to pride and arrogance, which itself is one of the problems, it can also lead to bad things. It can lead to, you can start to be affected by the surrounding powers because you do so much trade and so much people coming and going, etc. You start to be affected by the powers. Number three, the need for more wealth and more wealth, of course, can create the scenario of Shlomo HaMelech where you start to exploit the people. And you can exploit the people, the government can exploit the people, but also individuals, wealthy individuals start to exploit the people because they need more workers, they need more slaves, they need more this, they need to buy, they need to build, they need to build. And so part of the reality, as opposed to in the time of Eliyahu when the people are poor and there's droughts and all this, and they're constantly fending off the attacks of Aram, in the time of Uzziahu, you have the challenge of wealth. You have the challenge of wealth. You also have, of course, implicit in all of this is the king is dangerously, just like King Solomon, he is flouting many of the laws that the Bible said about a king. What does the Bible say about a king? So we know what the Bible says about a king. The Bible says in chapter 17, at the end, and the Torah says, when you want to put a king, Rak lo yarbelo susim, velo yashivetam mitzrayma, so that he doesn't bring them back to Egypt and then independent, which is exactly what Shlomo HaMelech did, and which is exactly what Uzziahu seems to do. Leman harbot sus, velo yarbelo nashim, velo yasur levavo, why? The danger is that you become arrogant and you will forget God. The danger also is that you start to exploit people. That's the second danger, that you start to exploit people. And the Bible tells us explicitly right after that, which explains what we did at the beginning of the shiur tonight, where it says that at some point in his life, he got sarat. Here the Bible tells us why he got sarat. Ukechezkato. When Uzziahu was so strong and successful, Gava libo ad lehashchit. His heart became too haughty, arrogance. Exactly what the Bible said would happen to a king who has too many horses and too much gold and too much silver and too many projects. It's exactly what happened. Vayim ol b'Hashem Elokav. He becomes very full of himself and challenges. He says, I am a king. I also want to be the Kohen. I want to control all of the sources of power. Vayavocharav Azariah HaKohen, interesting name. And they say to him, Lo lecha uziyahu laktir l'Hashem ki lakohanim b'nei Aaron hamekudashim laktir. That's the people. It's not for you. But the arrogance of thinking that I am entitled is exactly what gets Uzziah into trouble, which is exactly the arrogance that got Shlomo HaMelech into trouble. Having too many wives, having too much gold and silver, exploiting the people, charging too much taxes, all of that came out of that. And the Bible, this is exactly the challenge of the tkufa of Uzziahu. And that's exactly the image that the Bible paints. And again, I want to look at two passages in the Nevuah that make it very clear. If you look in the book of Yeshayahu, again, I'm not learning Yeshayahu tonight, but again, there's no doubt in my mind that this is what Yeshayahu, who his first Nevuot are during the time of Uzziahu, as it says in the beginning of the book of Isaiah. So let's turn to our good friend Isaiah. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, asher chazal Yudav Yushalayim bimei Uzziahu Yotam Achaz Chizkiyahu. So if we turn to chapter 2, chapter 1 is its own story, but if we turn to chapter 2, so notice how he describes the society. Beit Yaakov lechuven el chabor Hashem. You should go in the way of God. Bilu. Ki natashta amcha Beit Yaakov. Ki malu mikedem ve'onanim kaplishtim. U'b'yaldeyach nochrim yaspiku. They're playing with foreign customs. Vatimale artso kesef v'zahav. They've filled their land with kesev and zahav. It's exactly what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to fill it with gold and silver. The king is not supposed to do it. Vatimale artso susim. Ve'en ketzel lemarkavotav. You filled it with susim. Vatimale artso elilim. You filled it up with elilim, probably because you've opened up your borders and you've engaged in all of this trade, which has brought all of this impact. And so God says, Vayishach Adam Vayishpal Ish. Man will be made low. Ubo batsur v'itamein be'afar. Mipnei pachad Adonai u'mehadar gaono. Because of the glory of God. Einei gavut Adam shafel. V'shach rum anashim. The haughtiness of man will be made low. And then the text continues. There's no doubt he's referring here to the tkufa of Uzziahu. Ki yom l'Hashem tzvakot. Al kol ge'ev aram. On all those who are haughty. Va'al kol nisa v'shafel. Va'al kol arzei ha'levanon. And all of the cedars of Lebanon. Haramim v'hanisaim. Va'al kol alonei habashan. Va'al kol heharim haramim. Va'al kol agvaot. And then he says, Va'al kol migdal gavoa. And on all of the migdal gavoa. Who built the migdal gavoa? Uzziahu. Va'al kol choma bitzura. And all of the fortifications. Va'al kol oniot Tarshish. And on all of the boats that are going to Tarshish. From Eilat and other places. V'shach gavut ha'adam v'shafel rum anashim. This is what Yeshayahu is talking about. He's talking about the period of Uzziahu, which is full of these problems of arrogance, of having too much gold and too much silver, and falling into those traps. In addition, the Navi, now I'll go back to Perek Aleph, the Navi when he introduced, what did he speak about in very broad terms? He said, again, without going into everything, he compared these people to Sodom. Lulei Hashem tzvaot hotir lanu sarid kim'at kisdom ayinu la'amora daminu. We were like Sodom. What's Sodom in the Bible? Sodom in the Bible, in contrast to the Christian understanding, is not about sodomy, which is an English word which means forced homosexual rape, which of course is the way the Christians understood Sodom, the major sin of Sodom, as the fact that they wanted to unlawfully sexually abuse the angels, the men who came. But from the perspective of the Bible, that's not what Sodom is really about. Sodom is really about a place where they take things without asking, and where they're not, where they don't help the weak and the indigent. The fact is they didn't invite the angels in is the real issue. They want to abuse them, but it's really about not helping the poor and the weak. In contrast to Avraham, who's machnis orchim, Sodom in Perek Yudtet of Sefer Bereishit is all about not helping the indigent and the weak. And it's made explicit in the book of Yechezkel. The Jewish view of Sodom is made explicit in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel Perek Tet Zayin, very lengthy Perek, the Navi compares Sodom to Shomron and Yehuda. And it says as follows, Hine ze haya avon Sodom achotech. You want to know what the sin of Sodom was? Gaon. It was arrogant. Sivat lechem. It was content. Vishalvat ashket. It was complacent. Hayalau v'lenoteh. V'yad ani ve'evyon lo hechezika. It didn't stretch its hand out to the poor and the needy. It only cared about itself. It was arrogant, complacent, and was therefore, because it was very full of itself and complacent, it didn't care about anybody else. Parenthetically, this is where Chazal got the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot. If you remember, Pirkei Avot, Perek Hei. Pirkei Avot, Perek Hei. So the Mishnah says, what is it, Mishnah Tet? Something like that. Why did I get this? I just want Mishnah Pirkei Avot. So if I'm not mistaken, it's Mishnah Tet? Something like that. Arba midot ba'adam, Mishnah Yud. There are four qualities in a human being, Chazal say. Ha'omer shali shali v'shalcha shalcha. A person who says, mine is mine, and yours is yours, I'm not going to give you my stuff, and I don't expect you to give you your stuff. We're not going to help each other. Everybody does. Whatever you earn, you earn. V'yeshomrim zu midat sdom. This is the midah of sdom. The midah of sdom is social Darwinism. You got what you get on your own. You don't help anybody else. You just worry about yourself. That's midat sdom. And that's exactly what the Navi compares. The Navi compares the people, Yeshayahu, compares his society. Lulei Hashem tzvakoto tirlanu sarid kimat kizdom ayinu la'amora daminu. And he says it again. Shimu dvar Hashem k'tzinei zdom azinu torat elokeinu. And in the famous passage where he talks about religious hypocrisy, look at the averot that he actually says they did. Parischem kapechem alim anamikem gam ki tarbu tfilah enenu shomeh yideichem damim maleu. Your hands are full of blood. Rachatsu, Hizaku, Hasiru Amalachem Yaganai, Chidu Areya, Limdu Etev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ishru Chamotz, Shiftu Yaton, Ribu Amana. Those are the things they're not doing. They're not taking care of the Almana, the Yatom. They're not doing justice. They're taking advantage of the poor. Echa Haita Lezona, Kirya Nemana, Meleiti Mishpat, Tzedek Yalinba. We're supposed to have Tzedek. We're supposed to have tzedek and mishpat, ve'ata miratzchim, it's full of murderers. This is the society. Sarech, sorim, chavrei, ganavim, kulo, ohev shochad, rodev shalmonim, yatom lo yishpotu. There's a lot of people trying to make a lot of money, taking advantage, exploiting the weak. And that is the society that Yeshayahu is railing against, which is a byproduct of all of the success. The economic success always has a dark underbelly. The political success has a dark underbelly of arrogance, of forgetting God, of thinking that you're can do whatever you want, of feeling that. And that arrogance translates into, clearly, from the point of view of the Navi, that translates into, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of exploitation of weak people, what we call the lack of social justice. And that's exactly what Amos, who also lived in the time of Uzziahu, Divrei Amos asher haya banokdim mitakoa, asher chazal Yisrael b'yimei Uzziahu melech Yehuda, who b'yimei Yeravam ben Yoash. And he describes in Perek Hakol, he describes in Perek, or is it? He describes in Perek Dalid, Shim'u Hadavar Hazeb, Parot HaBashan Asher Bahar Shomron. The Parot HaBashan, the fat cats, Ha'oshkot Dalim, who go around taking advantage and oppressing the weak, the poor. Harot Sitzot Evyonim, who destroy the poor. Ha'omrot La'adoneim Avia V'nishteh, who say to their masters, bring me and let us drink. These are the people. The people, this is the society. Later on, in Perek Vav, Hoy Hashananim Bitzion, the people who are so complacent, Vabotchim Bahar Shomron, Nikuvei Reshit Agoyim, these are the people, Hashochvim Al Mitot Shein, who sleep on beds of ivory, Usruchim Al Arosotam, Vauchlim Karim Mitzon, and they eat the finest food, Vagalim Mitoch Marbek, Hashotim Mizrake Yain, Vereshit Shmanim Yimshachu, Velo Nechlu Al Shever Yosef, but they don't care about the remnant of Joseph. That's the society that they're describing. This is the prophetic, as we would say in Hebrew, Hamabat HaNivu'i Al HaMitziyut HaPolitit Kalkali. This is the prophetic perspective on the political, economic, it cuts through. Yes, there's a tremendous amount of success. They're strong. They're powerful. They've built wonderful buildings. They have a tremendous infrastructure. They've done great things, but at a great cost. It's a society with great cost. And that's why Yeshayahu and Amos and Micha talk about the things they talk about, because unfortunately it was a society that fell right into the trap that the Torah talks about. Levilti Rum Levavo, the king and the nobles, and the too much gold and too much silver and too much, and ultimately leads, unfortunately, too often to wanting to have more gold and more silver and more this and more that, and ultimately leads to a culture that exploits the weak. And Yeshayahu will be similar, in addition to everything I just showed you, Yeshayahu will also be similar in the fact that Yeshayahu in Perek Hey will also have a similar rebuke of the people. What are they doing? Hoy magi'ei bayit bebayit. Sadeh besadeh yakrivu ad efes makom. They basically buy up all the land and basically what we would say like today, gentrify. They would get rid of all the poor. Hoy mashkimei boker, the people who get up late. Shechar yirdofu. Acharai beneshef yayin yadlikein. Vayachinor vanevel. Tok v'chalal miyayin mishteyem. V'etpol Hashem lo yabitu. You have to create a society of indulgence. This is what has been created in, again, the underbelly of all of the success. And that's part of what Yeshayahu is coming, Yeshayahu, you know, so to speak, does in order to convey that. Okay. With that, we close our shiur for tonight. Emir Tashem, we will continue Perek Tedvav, and we will go back to what's going up in the north and the challenges of the north, and ultimately also what happens in the south. So we will, Emir Tashem, continue next week. Okay, everybody, have a good night.
Good night. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wonderful show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.